Christine and Tom, they have shown that's bomb, and we all love listening to it. As I sing this song about my favorite moms, I am also taking a shit. So let's all go down to your mom's house. They're gonna masturbate on your mom's couch. Christina and Tom's your mom's house. It's the world's best podcast, so shut your mouth.
Yeah. How about that?
That was amazing. Oh my gosh. Was that a famous country singer?
The famous country singer. Who was that? They don't even include their names.
You're kidding.
No, that was Benny. I just have his email name. Benny.
Oh. Well, that sounded as good as any Kenny Chesney song I've ever
That was
heard.
Better than a bitch, for sure.
Way gooder than a bitch.
And this
amazing.
One, this right now is from Michael Holstein. So yeah, you guys have sent in a lot of music. If you've sent it and you're waiting to hear it, we have a massive bank of stuff. So,
which is fantastic.
It's fantastic, yeah. So just, you know, it could be months before your song is played. But it's not because we're avoiding you unless you send in some whack-ass shit. But actually,
actually
even then,
no.
We play it because a lot of times we don't have time to screen the song
right.
first. So we just play it anyways. So, yeah, you'll probably hear your song no matter how good or bad it is.
Well, it's usually gooder than a bitch.
It's usually, and that was really good. So thank you so much. Now, Jeans, where, what, this is, oh, wow, this is.
What happened there?
Sometimes things happen. I don't know how to describe it. It's not what I wanted to happen.
The shit's all fucked up.
Shit's all fucked up. Now, see, right then, I fucked up, and now I got to find another song so that we can play some goddamn music right now.
Play some goddamn music!
Play
the music!
Play the song!
Do you want me to beatbox in the meantime?
Let's see. How about this right here? I don't even know what this is. Let's see. This is from. I didn't even listen to this ahead of time. I don't know what it is.
Well,
it's from William.
It's a surprise.
William Heller. And you're gonna hear it in a second.
William Heller.
Let's see, William Heller.
Oh. I like it already. That's good.
All right.
So good. Listen to our talented listeners. My goodness.
Pull them up tight. I like this a lot. Oh, yeah.
Welcome to your mom's house.
Oh, shit. I didn't realize.
Tom Segura and Christina Pajitsky.
Wow. Oh, I like that little... Indian stuff.
Mom, pull up your jeans, boy. Pull them up tight. Put your red up and shit. I'll live your whole life blind.
Bites!
Next stop, round talk. You better wipe down. Don't hesitate to listen to them mommies with the crown. Wipe down, or is it wipe up? Oh my god, seriously, fill her up and sail a shot. Oh yeah, and
I'm impressed.
Every song is more and more impressive.
I know. Yeah. This is like the kind of song we can't even talk over.
Oh, because of his lyrics.
Yeah.
Talk over those lyrics, too.
They're too good.
But we should definitely play this again. I like
yeah,
this.
We'll play this in its entirety. Okay, hold on. God damn it.
I love this.
Yeah, this is
I love
great.
What do they call this genre when they sing like this? Dubstep or something? Reggae, man. Everything
know.
Is Irie. I like it though.
Okay. Can you fucking help me out here, babe?
What do you need, sweetheart?
The song.
I like this song. I can talk now.
Somebody just sent in like 40 songs.
Oh my stars.
Alright, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm going to keep it gully right here.
Talk over this bit.
No, I know. But this is just... I don't want to fuck up this guy's track. Like, he's making rippity raps, you know? So...
Was that Shaggy? It sounded
my
like
go-to
Shaggy.
Is this Morning High stuff. I think Stevia. This is all... Of course, now I picked the one with lyrics.
It's all right.
All right, go ahead. This. Go ahead. Where are you going to be, Jeans?
Well, this news you're about to hear is gooder than a bitch.
Yeah.
If you haven't heard already, your mommies are coming to Tejas.
So
guess what? We're going to do two cities, Houston and Dallas. August 16th, we are coming to Fitzgerald.
In Houston.
August 17th, we will be in Dallas, Texas at the Curtain Club.
Yes.
Yeah, get her done.
Look, you got to get tickets now.
Yes,
get tickets
don't
now.
Don't fuck around, please.
Don't fuck around. And like we said in the last show, you know, bring a friend. Get an extra ticket. Support your Jeans.
Yes.
We need you to, you know, bring your own mother, your real mother.
Yeah.
Bring your brother. Bring your roommate. Bring somebody to the show.
Let's
make it. Bring a horse.
Bring your dog. Bring your cowboy.
It'll be awesome. So tickets are available. People said, where are tickets? I thought we made it clear that tickets are everywhere that we could possibly put tickets. They're on our website.
YourMomsHousePodcast.com.
They're on my website, TomSegura.com.
They're on Christina's website, ChristinaComedy.com.
So there's plenty of links up to both shows. Just go to any of those sites and get tickets now.
Very exciting. All right. In addition to that, mommies, if you're listening now, I am at the Chicago Improv, July 11th through 14th. And then July 18th through 21st, the Columbus Funny Bone in Columbus, Ohio.
That's what's up.
And then August 1st through 4th, I'm coming to Omaha, Nebraska, the Omaha Funny Bone. So it's quite an international time for me.
Excellent. Well, right now, if you're listening, the moment this drops, as you're supposed to, I am July 5 through 7 at the West Palm Beach Improv. In West Palm Beach, Florida. Next week, 11th through 14th of July, I'm at the Hartford Funny Bone. July 18 through 21, I'm at the Toledo Funny Bone. July 26th, one night only, I'm with Sir Joseph Rogan, the Moore Theater in Seattle. And August 1st through the 4th, I am in Richmond, Virginia, at the Richmond Funny Bone.
I'm from Richmond, y'all, from Virginia.
And from there, you know, we'll be in Dallas and Houston. So get tickets now. Thanks, Jeans. Look.
Wait, follow us on Twitter, too, at Christina P, at Tom Segura. That's where we usually post updates.
Yes.
Like
and you can also like the fan page on Facebook, which is facebook.com/YourMomsHousePodcast.
Order your alcohol with DoorDash today and drink in the savings. Use code YMH24 to get 25% off, up to $15 value on a $35 minimum subtotal on your next alcohol order for eligible users only. The alcohol selection on DoorDash is top shelf. With thousands of stores all over the country, you're sure to find what you're looking for and more. Beer, wine, mixers, mocktails, and more can be delivered straight to your door. Save up to 25% off, up to $15 value when you spend $35 or more with code YMH24. So whether you're grabbing drinks for an event or staying in for the night, DoorDash is here to help you have a great evening any evening. Terms apply. Must be 21 or older to order alcohol. Drink responsibly. Delivery and promotions available only in select markets. Your sex life is important, but your schedule is busy. You don't have the time to go to a doctor's office to get treated for your erectile dysfunction. Through Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. Hims is changing men's health care by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment, options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and 100% online. No uncomfortable doctor's visits. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/YMH. That's HIMS.com/YMH for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/YMH. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Well, don't forget also, if you haven't yet shop at our store. Go to yourmomshousepodcast.com, click on our store, get the Wipe Down collection, get maybe the Top Dog t-shirt, get Christina's CD, get one of my CDs.
Tour posters.
They're there, the high
posters
and tight tour
posters. For your friends.
The Stevie retarded poster.
Extra small posters.
Little posters. You could put, they're your secret, under your big posters.
Triple XL shirts. Double XLs.
Extra large and obese people out there. Shirts that you can wear around two people.
That's right. Small shirts, medium shirts.
All right, we got to get this going. Guys, we love you. This is a great episode. I think you're going to really enjoy it with our dear friend, lovely person, hilarious talent, Miss Catherine Reitman. Enjoy the show, and we'll see you on Wednesday of next week.
Bye, Mom.
Bye, Clint.
Don't. I hate it. Die, and there's so many other people I'd prefer to have die.
Oh my God.
What about the mean maid? What's her name?
Sure, O'Brien.
Ugh.
O'Brien could kick it. My least favorite is the most boring fucking character. Can we swear on this?
Of course.
There's a lot of gas going on.
Oh, I can't wait to hear about it. Yeah. Well, what to hear about that?
Yeah.
Write this down.
Watch your profanity.
We're rolling, y'all, right?
Watch your profanity.
Are we rolling on this?
Yeah, we're rolling.
Oh, thank God. Okay, sorry, but finish your thought. So...
Oh, O'Brien, the most boring character on the planet is Bates.
Mr. Bates.
Get Mr. Bates out of there. He's so dull.
And really annoys me because he never defends himself.
Never. He's so prideful.
Is that what it is? But at a certain point, don't you go like, you know what? Your pride is bullshit.
Yeah.
It's like, it's annoying. Grow a pair of balls. Like, I don't feel like
you said
multiple times you could even respect a guy like that, right? Where he's like, I'm not going to stand up for myself.
I will not.
Well, if it happened once and it's like a likable trait and you're like, good for you, man. All right, we like this guy. But it's like nonstop with the pride and the ego going aside.
But what is the pride in not defending your own self? Is there pride in that?
No, it's actually a very weak move.
Yeah, it's self-harm, what Dr. Laura would say, and I've been listening to her all day.
She gets it. He's a pussy. And also, didn't he have a limp? What happened to the limp? Is it still there?
Thank you. I just noticed that.
A lot of storylines left untold until a car hits them.
Here's what I really liked for a moment.
Killed by a car.
When Bates got locked up. I don't know if this happened to you, but there was a moment, an episode or two, where I was like, he's a fucking psychopath. He killed her. And I thought they were going to go down. I was like, yes. Like, I
that
thought he was
so great.
Yes.
Anything to make him interesting.
Yes.
I thought when he got released, he was going to be like, I killed that cunt and got away with it. And she was like, whoa.
Every time we went back to the prison, I was like, oh.
I know. God. Me too.
I know.
Or spinoff show that he's a sociopath. Wouldn't you watch the Downton Abbey sociopath spinoff show?
Of course.
Where he like slowly jerks off watching everyone upstairs. I would love that.
Have you seen the creator talk? Have you ever seen Julian Fellowes being interviewed?
No.
No?
Do yourself a favor.
You will see
the worst teeth in all of show business.
I've been wondering where they are.
Okay, here's what he did. Here's a classic move I've seen. Tops, perfectly capped, white. Yeah. Bottoms, yellowy, buttery,
super
popcorn.
Britishy yellow.
Disaster.
Super dingy. Yeah, you're like, you're the creator of like Gosford Parks, hugely successful.
It's interesting. There's actually not a lot of more fucked up teeth on the show because they should be. Everyone has like a perfect smile.
They do.
That's like the tell that they're a bunch of actors.
It's totally true.
Maddie. With a perfect smile.
Except for Elizabeth Montgomery. Is that her name?
Which one is she?
Cora, the mom.
Oh, yeah.
Notice when she smiles, you're sheepish.
If you could see it, you would see it. It's a little kitten that's like just stuck her tail in her own vagina. It's so gross.
No,
it's so coy.
She's got some dark old school cavities.
That's why she seals the lips when she smiles.
Yep. And it's a permanent, like,
weepy. Yeah.
Now, Robert.
Fuck my
and
asshole.
And why is she always so understanding with him?
I know.
By the end of the season, you're just like, this guy is the worst. He's financially irresponsible. Yes. He's a terrible father figure.
He smooches the lady.
That's right, he smooches the maid.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, and the other most boring character in the world is the one who's like, I'm in love with him. What's that little Irishy girl?
Daisy.
Yes, Mrs. Daisy. Patmore.
But I don't love him.
Oh, yeah.
Take over the farm and get the fuck over.
Yeah. Take the money and run.
Get the fuck out of the house.
Will you be the assistant cook forever to that big fat fuck?
I don't want to be a cook all my life.
Mrs. Patmore.
Have my eyesight.
Oh, it's separated. The egg separated in the cream. Don't love him.
You can't use a melon spoon for soup.
I'm so sorry, Mrs. Patmore, but I don't love him. And then who's the guy that she falls in love with?
William. And he's dead.
Right.
Dead.
Oh, yeah. The fake love. Yes.
Yeah.
I don't love William, though.
And then there's someone else she falls in love with, but he loves the girl who's incredibly unattractive, but everyone pretends is attractive.
The gay character?
Thomas?
No, not Thomas.
She loved Thomas first, right?
No, Thomas is the lust of this new guy who looks like a homo, but isn't.
Oh, yeah, he's not a homo.
And Daisy's in love
James.
With him.
James.
Yeah, it's
James.
So pretty.
People call me Jimmy. Well, you'll be James in this house.
That's right.
That's Eyebrows McGillicuddy. What's his name?
Carson.
Carson. Mr.
You
Carson.
Will be James when you're here.
Why? You know, we were on vacation. We spoke with a psychiatrist about the show.
That's healthy.
Yeah. He made an interesting
We brought him
point.
With us so that we could enjoy our vacation. We said, we need to talk to you 24 hours a day.
I can't go a week without
so we can relax.
It's very healthy.
So he goes, you know what? That show is so boring. I go, well, what are you talking about? He goes, yeah, because there's no emotional stakes.
Get a new psychiatrist. Right. There are so many emotional stakes in that show. How is he missing
it? He goes, there's no confrontation.
I didn't agree with him.
I don't agree there. But
he's like, you know, a really good movie like Furious 5. Is he like a Vin Diesel fan? How is he missing out on the emotional relevancy of the show?
I think because there's no direct confrontation. But to people like me and Tom, yes, I don't like confrontation.
Right.
I'm never going to do it. So maybe for me, it's like, will he or won't he use the right knife? I don't know. It's very...
I grew up with passive aggressive too.
Did you?
Where it's like, it's all through like, but my family was all joke and humor.
Correct.
Sorry, not joke and humor. Anger and humor. Like, you're going to sit there? Really? Oh, that's so you. Like, there goes the joke right under the carpet.
Right,
I feel
right.
like shit all night.
Yeah.
Oh, no. And it was never brought up again.
Wait, let's get into this. Hold on.
Yeah,
we got to play our show open. We always play a show open.
I'm sorry.
We got to say who our guest is. Everybody's like, who the fuck is this voice right now?
What the fuck is happening?
Our wonderful guest today is lovely actress and absolutely just charming human being.
A joy to have in the home.
Wow.
Miss Catherine Reitman.
Yay.
Welcome, Kat.
Thank you.
And if we might point out, you're the very first pregnant mommy.
Yep. A real mom.
That seems so crazy for the first real mommy, huh?
Yep. Well, we've had Marilyn Rice Cup who has a child who's four, but to have one that's being incubated right now.
Right. Someone's baking at me at the moment.
Knocking on the door.
So great. We have so much to go over.
Yeah. All right.
So much to cover.
Let's start the show. Here we go.
Can you turn that off for a little while? Come on, man. It's too loud. You're too old. Don't you like music? Yeah, I do. But I can survive for a few minutes without it.
Arguments. Problems. Conflict. You'll find them in every workplace. Whose side are you on? Keith's or Charlie's? How could you try to understand the other person's point of view and solve this problem? Let's see if Keith and Charlie can learn to see each other's point of view.
Now I'm asking you nicely. Please, just turn it off. Look, you're usually up front in your office. I'm back here all day. This is my workspace. Could you please turn it down, at least? This is rock and roll. The whole point is to play it loud. Turn it off. No.
This shit is big time!
Who is Randy?
Don't bring anyone mother into this.
Your mama in the fucking stand!
Welcome. Welcome to your mom's house. With Tom Segura.
And Christina Pajitza.
Welcome to your mom's house.
All right.
Such a sexy opening.
Mm-hmm. You like that?
Very sexy.
How'd it make you feel?
All sorts of things. It actually brought me back to the Michael Jackson Black or White video when Macaulay Culkin was jamming too loud upstairs on his guitar.
Yes.
Oh.
He's like, turn it down. And he's like, I'll show him.
That's right. I remember that.
And then he was on the roof of a car all of a sudden rapping.
It made no sense. I remember. No sense. And smashing.
Black or white. It's an incredible video.
It's crazy he's dead still.
We're so proud and happy to have you.
Oh, thanks.
We even, dare I say, fixed up the place. We took the dog sheets off the couch for you.
Well, mm-hmm. Thank you.
Because we knew you're a special person. You don't want to see our filthy dog sheets.
I'm in love with your dog.
Isn't he the best?
I kind of wish I could find those sheets where you put them. Because I'd wear them home. I mean, this dog is adorable.
He's the best, adorable. Right?
He's got a good face.
The Fifernator. Yeah.
I also have a flat-faced dog. So it's,
yeah? What do you have?
Does he have an underbite?
No.
That's too bad.
He had braces and headgear.
He fixed it. Sure.
What's yours?
I have a Shih Tzu and a Shih Tzu Bichon blend.
Also is that how you're supposed to say it? What? Everyone says Shih Tzu. That's not how you're supposed to say it.
Oh, I just love saying Shih Tzu because when you look at him, he's such a little Chinese ambassador. He's so serious. That, like, my big joke, as soon as I have a few drinks with him, he's like, Shih Tzu.
Shih Tzu. Oh.
Exactly. But it's Shih Tzu. It's fine.
Okay. All right. Well, some people, we have a Brussels Griffon.
Thank you.
That
same
a lot
thing.
Of people say Brussels Griffon.
Right.
And if you say Griffon, they're like, what are you, fucking Downton Abbey? And you're like, all right.
The accents on everything just makes people sound obnoxious.
Of course.
But real Brussels loves?
Yeah.
Lovers?
Yeah.
If you say Brussels Griffon, they're fuck like, off. Do you even know anything about this dog?
You're not allowed. They'll take your dog away.
Yeah. You have to say Brussels Griffon. Mm-hmm. That's how they say it at the Kennel Club, too.
The Griffon?
Yeah, sip your tea with your pinky out.
So we were just getting, I mean, first of all, that would play that intro for conflict. We were talking about conflict.
Interesting. Yeah.
Downton Abbey.
Good job.
A lot of how do you resolve conflict when your coworker's playing rock and roll too loud?
Right.
What do you do?
Do you tell them?
Do you get passive aggressive?
Keith, I want you to turn that down.
Please.
In your house, it would have been a joke.
Aggressive. It would have been a joke. How about you turn that a little louder?
That's painful.
And was it among everybody? Parents, siblings, everything?
Well, Dad ran the show.
Yeah.
And then everyone learned from Dad that passive-aggressive, because Dad could get away with it. He was a powerful dude.
Yeah.
And so we saw him be effective in meetings that way, and we're like, oh. So I was in, like, kindergarten throwing, like, passive-aggressive humor at friends, and they were like...
Wow, that's really crying. Advanced for kids. A kindergartner.
Oh, I know.
Because if it's one thing kids understand, it's sarcasm.
Yes.
Backhanded compliments.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Subtle humor is... very popular. In
telling wow. like a five-year-old, like, yeah, it is an interesting story. Yeah. It does wonders for them.
Well, and then when the word not came around, or
the not joke.
You can imagine how it changed my world.
Yeah,
so great.
Yeah.
So your dad was set you up on how to do this.
I'm making him sound like such a prick, and he was such a good dad. But it was, there was definitely, that's how he, I mean, he's like, not to get super dark here, but he was the direct... I mean, his parents were right out of the Holocaust.
Oh, for crying.
So there's a lot of, like, deep-seated, like, not
where Eastern Europe,
shit.
Right? Your dad? Where is he from? Czechoslovakia? Or?
Yes, he is. Oh, my God. Hungarian roots.
Okay, right here.
What's up, girl? Oh, yeah.
Dude, and because I grew up, my father and my mother escaped. Actually, we're going to have my dad on soon on a bonus episode.
I love it.
Oh, my God. And he was retelling the story of his escape, of his childhood.
Wow. From Hungary? Yeah.
And I had to fight... the tears, like, I don't know, I don't think you noticed, but I was very quiet.
No, I could tell.
Because I was like, this is, and I understand that, because all that pain and suffering gets passed down to kids, even not
it's in the blood.
Consciously. Yeah. Right, it's an unconscious transference, I think. I have a PhD in psychology, obviously, and that's...
You're so smart.
Thank you.
So sexual.
I see a therapist, thank you. But yes, you pick up on all that darkness, and it's in there, and even gets passed on to you, dare I say, which is probably why you're funny.
Well, I don't know if it's that or what, or if I am funny, but...
You're hilarious.
Thank you very much. But it is transferred, that sort of grieving and the not dealing with it. And
that's the biggest, yeah.
And then it also was a lot of pressure. Like, you know, in our case, I'm pregnant. We're having a son. And, like, there's all this pressure to have a bris because you've got to, like, you know, there's only so many Jews left.
I'm sure. Yeah.
We have to, like, keep the story alive. And
if you're descendants from Holocaust survivors, there's even more pressure, right?
Oh, my God. No, I remember being, like, 6 years old interviewing my... Najmama is what we called her.
Najmama again.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, man.
I interviewed her for, like, you know, some school project, and she was like, why do you want to talk about this? And I'm like, please just tell me a story so I can type this up. I don't give a shit. You know, I'm like, right. I'm just kid.
Yeah.
And I caught a glimpse of her tat.
Yeah,
and it got real. And all of a sudden, I remember being like, wait, what happened? Yeah. Why are you really cool, or did something horrible happen? Why do you have a tattoo? And then, you know, like, she was bald the whole deal. Both Najmama and Najpapa, separate camps, both managed to escape, which is about as rare as it gets. Both found each other and got married.
Found each other.
Well, they were engaged before they got taken to separate camps.
Oh,
it's like a crazy epic story.
How is that not a film?
How is that not in Downton? I mean, up the plot. What the hell is Bates up to?
So that's emotional stakes.
They are both at the. Are they encamped in Hungary?
They are both in. One is in Auschwitz and one is
in. Oh my
God.
Ugh, forgive me. I can't remember the name of the other camp. If I had my school report, I would know everything right now.
Do you want me to guess? Just kidding. I can rattle them off and we can play this fun game.
We can play this horrible game.
Yeah.
But they were both in separate ones and they were set to be, they'd met, were in love, engaged, taken to separate camps, escaped, and got married.
That's crazy.
Bananas.
And then they escape and go to what, Canada?
They did. They first escaped communism. It's like a long, crazy
mine
tale.
Same
parallel
story.
Is that right?
Then to Canada.
And then
that's
to Canada.
Where you went. Okay.
Yeah. Where in Canada did your parents go?
Windsor, Ontario.
No kidding.
And my father said when he saw Detroit that it was the most beautiful place he'd ever seen.
I love it.
Yeah. He said he drove over the bridge and saw this city and these guys leaning on their Cadillacs and they had feathers in their hats. And I thought, this is where I should have been born.
Beautiful place.
He's like, this is the most
beautiful place.
Detroit. That's how bad.
Is he still in Detroit?
Hell no.
No, he lives here.
We moved here right quick. 1980, the whole family was here.
In Los Angeles.
Yes, I grew up here in the valley. Yeah. So wait, so what year did they leave the old country? Are we talking Hungary now or Czechoslovakia?
Czechoslovakia, and then I believe it went, I don't know exactly, they ended up in Toronto.
Okay.
Toronto. Everyone in Canada says Toronto.
Yeah, right. Toronto.
Yeah, exactly. If you say Toronto, you're like some weird tourist.
Yeah. Or do you also say Montreal?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Montreal.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me.
My mother's French Canadian, would say she's Québécois.
Montreal.
C'est vrai. But yes, they didn't move to LA. My parents moved to LA. Once my dad had like his first hit, he was like, later.
Face dog.
Exactly. Get the fuck out.
We each have foreign parents. You know that?
So weird.
That's right. Peru.
Hungary.
A little more hungry.
And more hungry.
More
so crazy.
Very hungry up here.
Very hungry. Okay. How about, so just so in case somebody doesn't know who's listening. So your dad, who you talked about having his huge hit, Ivan Reitman.
Yes.
Very, very, very well known.
Just a little independent film
little
guy.
He made this one movie called
Tiny
Ghostbusters.
Movie,
never heard of it.
That was it. That was the last hit he ever had. And then
he died.
And then Twins and
Jesus Christ.
It's actually such a ridiculous list.
It's a cool list. It's a bunch of comedies. Lot of movies that, you know, we all grew up on, 80s and 90s, and then some movies that didn't do as well. But he actually just wrapped a film
directed?
In Cleveland. He directed
it. Oh, great.
Starring Kevin Costner.
Wow.
Called Draft Day, and it sounds really, really cool.
I read the script.
Did you?
Yep.
It's kind of a cool script, right?
Very cool.
Yeah. Yep.
Very cool. It's all about NFL.
That's right. If you're super into football, this is your movie.
That's cool. I didn't know he was doing that. I just read it a while ago
because
I was throwing around. I wanted to do this football idea. And so somebody was like, you should read this just to see what's out there right now.
But more importantly, Ghostbusters.
No, Ghostbusters is amazing. But this is what I wanted to get to.
We
talked about this. It's amazing.
Of all time. I would say that is probably one of the most seminal comedy movies for me. Like, I can recite symmetrical book stacking, just like the Philadelphia case of 1964. You're right, Ray. No human being would stack books like this. Like, everything about that fucking movie is genius, brilliant.
Do you prefer it to the sequel?
Of course. I mean, am I not supposed to?
No, you're absolutely supposed to. I think it's because of when I was born. Because for me, it was like in the house, that was the movie that was happening.
Two? Number two was?
I was born actually during Twins.
That, by the way.
I'm sorry, Stripes, 1981.
I was Stripes.
And but the movies that I grew up, because you know, you're an infant, you don't know what the fuck's happening.
Yeah, of course.
But like the movies that I grew up sort of watching were more Ghostbusters 2, Kindergarten Cop, Twins. Those are the movies that were
Kindergarten Cop.
I mean, that's when I was on the set being like, this is normal.
You know? This is life. This is normal.
This is life.
Yeah.
This is normal life.
It's so crazy when you hear about in Hollywood or in, like, you know, television, film, somebody having like magic touch. I mean, it really is such a list that you go, well, he's just got something. Like, a credit to him, where it can be, you know, another hit. Like, it's just hit after hit after hit. It's crazy.
Absolutely. No, he's a crazy talented guy. And he's so, if you met him in person, which I know you have, he is so incredibly intimidating, so serious. And the fact that he has this like kind of incredible inner comedic language, like he really understands how to communicate to actors in a comedic way.
Sure.
But he, when you're talking to him, he's just the scariest bastard. I mean, yeah. I remember going home from school plays and him being like, you were okay.
Oh my God.
And I would be in the back seat like, okay. Like,
really? Oh, you were okay?
I was so old.
So he was giving you straight up.
Oh, I've been getting hardcore notes since like,
which is my biggest question. Let's do this. Best thing, worst thing about being Ivan Reitman's daughter or having Ivan Reitman as your father. Let's do that.
Would you believe it or not? I've never played this game.
Well, welcome to your mom's house.
You guys
and
are the
mom.
Best.
Yeah.
I'd say the best thing about being Ivan Reitman's daughter is that he's an awesome dad. And I'm not just saying that. And especially, I'd say in the last like 8 to 10 years, he's grown. I think there's something about getting humble. You know, like when you have everything coming at you and your career's doing amazing, it's really easy just to commit yourself to that. Mm. And like he was a great father as a kid, but I think as the sort of ups and downs and realistic, you know, humbling happened in his career, he became an amazing dad. Like in the last few years, he's been like, I'm really close to him.
Mm-hmm.
I probably talk to him a couple times a week.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. He's incredibly supportive. Not to mention he's really critical of me, hypercritical of me, but he's also, it's given me an incredible thick skin, you know, like as an actor, you know, when you're
you need
auditioning,
that, right?
I can only imagine as a stand-up for you guys, I don't have the balls for that, but you have to be really strong.
But that kind of emotional stripping, my mother's highly critical of me. It does work. It functions good and bad, obviously, because it does, it undermines, it, I'll speak from personal, it undermined my confidence and a lot of stuff. On the other hand, gave me the resilience to be super confident about things I knew I was good at.
That's it. When you do nail it, you
fucking know it, dude, because you
it's
put
a
in
confirmation.
The work. Yeah.
Absolutely.
You don't ever bullshit yourself.
And you know your strengths and you know your weaknesses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like the shit I'm not good at, which is a lot. Like if I get near it, I'm like, no, I'm not getting near this. This is going to be a disaster. Like I know when to go, this is not my game. And when I do strike something out, I'm like, that's mine.
Right. Yeah. And I think, too, the older men get, like, my dad hit his late 50s, and he softened a bit. And
is that it? Is it just the age they hit? They become?
Definitely.
It could be. Like,
my tough uncle, Dave.
Yeah, Rockbiter?
No. Uncle Dave.
Oh, Dave. Sorry. Yeah. Yes, that Dave.
Dave, who, Christina.
Sorry, I was thinking of your other evil.
No, but he's not evil.
Crazy.
Jesus.
No, he's just crazy. He's a little hard.
He's killed a lot of people. But Dave, I always remember just being like such a tough guy when I was a kid. Like he just seemed, you know, just rough around the edges. Now, like Catherine would walk in the room and he'd be like, "You're pregnant. That's beautiful." Like just he cries all the time, and I'm like,
the emotion that happens. Yeah. They're such easy criers.
Such easy criers.
I'm gonna tell you right now that my dad cried during the movie Dreamgirls.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Yes, and I could not stop laughing.
I thought you just said Showgirls for some reason.
Showgirls. That would be so much better.
Which part? Elizabeth Berkley?
Start to finish. Yeah. Obviously, Christina. No, the part where she's like, Liz, what's the big show-stopping number? And I'm telling
and you're
you.
You're gonna love me.
That's right. All of a sudden I hear, and I look over and my dad's gone.
Really?
And he pauses the movie because we're at home, and he gets up and he goes, it hits me when something's beautiful.
Wow.
And I was like, this would not have happened 10 years ago.
No. Just way tougher exterior.
And did you go, you fucking faggot? Did you punch him in the arm? Call
I punched
a pussy
him right
faggot?
In the dick. Yeah. I punched him right in the dick.
Good call.
Babe.
No, that's the other part is when my dad
punch
starts crying.
Profanity.
I start crying immediately when I see my dad crying.
Oh, of course.
Something
of course.
About it. I'm like, oh, everything's done.
Now, when I don't see cry is my top dog, my dad.
No.
I don't see him
cry. I don't think
he's not a crier.
No.
Is he tough?
Yeah,
he's not.
Way.
He's not like a hard ass dude to be around, but he's just not very
emotional.
Yeah,
disconnected.
Well, a little bit. Yeah, I mean, he's I love you, kisses me, hugs me. So he's not like a cold person at all.
Right.
But
is he very religious?
He's pretty religious. In my life, I've only seen him cry a couple times, and it wasn't and it wasn't like heavy crying. It was like
a tear accidentally fell.
Yeah, he doesn't cry a lot. Definitely.
When you do see him cry, are you rocked?
Fuck yeah!
Yeah.
I remember so hardcore when his dad died. I remember being in his room in Minneapolis where we were living at the time, and like he had, you know, a tissue. He was crying. He was crying because his mother was alone. You know, he's like, it's the worst part about this. And I was like, geez. And I was a little kid. I was 10 years old. So, yeah, that really
I hate when they cry. I just hate it.
Oh, my God. It's too much. Just be parents forever.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Stop being people.
Yeah. You know? I don't want to get to know that your flaws. It's too much for
me.
My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get. Wow. How have I been living like this? It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. More like, wow, how have I been affording this? It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. We use Mint Mobile at the office and we have been saving so much money since switching over. And setting up a Mint Mobile's website was super easy. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/mom. That's mintmobile.com/mom. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/mom. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Wait, we got. I know we got to explain. I'm doing a horrible job of explaining the backstory. Mm-hmm. How I even know Catherine. Mm-hmm. Catherine and I know each other over 11 years.
Wow.
No, yeah, 10 years, 10, 11 years now. 2002. Yeah, so that'd be 11 years. We did Groundlings together.
Yes, and make some choices. Do your space work.
And I was telling Christina the other day. I look back at like those first class group people, the few that I still. You know, keep contact with, which is very few, but with like the kind of fondness that you look back on, like college.
Oh my God!
You know, well, friends.
It wasn't a particularly special group.
It was a special group, and I was
Tom
telling her.
Tom is just so funny, Christina. I mean,
always.
I've never. Oh, he's always funny.
I know,
but he was. I was dating a guy in our class.
Uh-oh. I think I know who.
Yes, mm-hmm. And of course we were very in love, and everything was great. But I think that Tom was the one guy he was jealous of because every time Tom got up. I would just lose my shit. Tom is just so fucking funny.
Oh, yeah. He's been funny since the beginning. Even in stand-up, I used to run an open mic back in the day. I would always have him close out shows. And this is like 2 years into stand-up when all of us were just flailing.
Right. Do you still do the middle finger, not to you, that was to the car behind you?
No, that's an old one. But you know my old stuff. That was
I tell people that joke where I'm like, I flick someone off and they honk and I'm like, well, it was a great stand-up guy.
Thank you. No, we had a really great class and a camaraderie. Yeah. And that's actually... how I got to know you and your family, like to more to you saying that you have great parents. I mean, like I remember no matter what was going on when you had a birthday, there was a birthday party and your
They're
dad could
so
be
supportive.
In Vancouver and he'd fly down and like be there and your mother and your sister were all at like, I still remember birthday parties were like a big thing and like, and everybody from the class would go to your birthday party. So it was like, for me being a new person in LA, it was like a new, like it was the only group of people I knew was just from going to Groundlings. Like I didn't know anybody in LA. Nobody. So
yeah, it's weird when you go, like, because I think that's actually a very LA thing. Is that the family still? Because you know you grew up here.
I did. Yeah.
Did your family like come to all the events? Like, were they very like involved in everything?
No.
Really?
Are you kidding me?
Ugh, you're lucky.
You gotta meet my family. No, actually, no. You know, my parents were just trying to hold it together. I think
they
came to this country and they were just trying to make shit work.
Right.
But I was gonna say to you that. You know, I grew up in the San Fernando Valley around a lot of kids whose families were very famous And I have to say, of all of them, you guys are probably the most balanced that I've witnessed. I think I went to one Mad Men party you had ages ago.
Yeah.
And I met your mom, who I like loved. And I thought, God, these people are fucking pretty normal for show business. You guys.
They're Canadian.
Okay.
They're very Canadian.
Is that what it is?
I think so, because we grew up around a lot also of, I guess, famous people and their kids. And I thought most of them were assholes.
Total.
Well, this.
I mean, I went to boarding school to get away from them.
Which one did you go to?
I went to a school called Kate.
It's in Idaho.
It's not. It's in Santa Barbara. Why did you think it was in Idaho?
Because I know like a lot of kids that ended up in continuation or in like survival camps.
I love that you were like, I had to get away from them, so I went to survival camp.
Oh no, not
I
not
can
that.
Build a fire like you would not believe.
But they end up getting sent there sometimes.
Oh right, no, this wasn't a rebel move. This was like, I got to get the fuck out of.
But
gotcha,
why?
Gotcha.
Why? This is more to the point. Why aren't you an insufferable asshole?
Right?
Shouldn't you be?
I might be.
No, you're not. Come on.
No way.
I don't know. I think they're also, because there's kind of two roads to take, and my brother and I have talked about this a lot. It's like, you already, every time you enter a room, right, people have these preconceived notions of who you
course.
Are. And this goes back to your game of worst part and best part of being Ivan Reitman's daughter. I think one of the worst parts about being Ivan Reitman's daughter is that people think they know who you are. And not in a good way.
Right.
So you have to sort of work twice as hard.
Fucking asshole lady that just came in the room.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I think you have to, if you care... Which, I mean, listen, there's a reason a lot of them become drug addicts, kids of, and a lot of them just become assholes.
Most I grew up with.
Because they're like, fuck
junkies,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you, you know, if you're a hard worker, or if you want to be, and you want to earn your own spot outside of the shadow that is your father, you know, you have to sort of work twice as hard and prove that you're a good person and be humble. And
sure. But you did a good job. I mean, it seems like, and that's credit to them too, right? To your parents, they must have done. They didn't let you guys be.
No, they were fantastic.
Like back talking shitty.
No,
you
know. I was called a smartass almost every single day growing up, and I don't think I was that bad.
Really?
Well, yeah. And I think too that you guys actually work, because I know a lot of kids when they grow up with money or whatever, it always killed me. I'm gonna be fucking honest here. When I grew up kind of working class. My dad's a forklift mechanic, and I grew up around these kids who just seem to have so much,
and they never had to earn
anything.
They
fucking, no, not only that obviously, yes, I'll be honest, I always had animosity towards those kids, jealousy, absolutely. But what always killed me is that given all that, they never did fuck all with it. They never,
right.
I knew kids that had so much wealth, they never went to go to college or never traveled the world or never started
right.
any businesses. And you're like, dude.
I know so many of those kids,
right,
too.
Like, what I wouldn't give to have, but it seems like you and your family and you and your brother, you actually did something with the tools and the advantages you were given, which is a testament to your family.
That's like, a huge compliment. Thank you.
Well, I give them. Now, how did you guys... How are you different? I still don't understand. I don't know if I can wrap my head around it.
I don't know. Maybe I can't totally wrap my head around it either.
Yeah, because you're in it. You lived it. So
I can say, though, that I have witnessed, like, there is I'm unsatiable as far as, like, I never feel like I've earned something and it's truly mine.
Mm.
Like, I just bought my first house and I worked my ass off to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been working since I was 15. And, I mean, not to say that my parents haven't been sensationally supportive of me, because they have, but... You never feel like anything, like if I book a job, if someone compliments me, I mean, you always feel like you never quite feel worthy of it, because there's so much predetermined judgment that comes with it.
Why you think people are assuming, what do you think people are assuming?
Well, that you're like a spoiled asshole, or that untalented, or
right.
not hardworking.
You didn't get
all
this,
the bad shit.
You didn't get this because you deserve this. You got this because you're
That's
Catherine
right.
Reitman.
That's right.
And you know people fucking.
And the coolest part about all of this is that I've been married for about 5 years, and now I'm watching it happen to my husband.
Very handsome man, by the way.
Incredibly handsome.
Yes.
A good Jew. But people truly, like, they're like, oh, excuse me. Oh, you got that because you're Catherine Reitman's husband.
Oh, right, right.
And now
right.
he's getting it,
right.
and
he's like, what?
He's just, he's in full, like, flip out mode
sure.
over it. And I feel like, oh, he's like, you know, 25 years behind me on it. So I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Like, it's like I'm giving him therapy on it.
Because he's producing stuff. Right?
That's right. And he just directed his first project.
What? I didn't know that.
Yes. And I think it's a lot of pressure on him. And my dad came and watched it.
Oh no. Life.
I know. Was that a stupid move?
Oh, my God.
He was supportive, but he was really critical.
Did he make a short or like a TV thing or a feature?
No, he made a sitcom. We wrote a sitcom together and we shot it and we raised money for it and we did the whole thing. And it took us about 2 years to make.
That's incredible.
And my dad sat down and watched it in the edit bay. I couldn't be anywhere near, of course, there. And he was very critical of it. Mm-hmm. He thought it was great, and he gave us all this great feedback, but he also definitely criticized it. And Phil came out of it shaking. Like, wow. He like shook his hand. He was like, thank you so much. And I mean, they have this great relationship, thank God. But afterwards, I remember looking at Phil and being like, oh, you didn't get this when you were, he didn't, because his parents are sweethearts from Chicago.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. They didn't give him criticism.
But the best thing ever, that like the invaluable, like you can't even begin to wrap your head around how valuable it is to have your dad tell you, here's what is wrong, or what I think you should change, or what I would fix, or the flaws. That is like, that's $1 million bonus.
It is
to
and it
have
isn't,
that, right?
Because he's very tainted when it comes to me. And
well,
there's
to
like
you.
Sex
okay.
scenes. It's like an HBO type of show.
Oh, I got you.
So he definitely watched it and he was like, what are you doing stripping in it?
Yeah.
Like I think he definitely had a lot of issues with my character.
Yeah.
He didn't understand why my character did a lot of things.
Wow. I see.
Because it's his daughter at the end
of
the day.
Right.
It's his baby.
Of course. No, I understand that.
That's
but I still
so
think
crazy.
That like anybody that shoots something
100%
to get that feedback and have it be honest, not like, oh, I love it. Like to have somebody be like, here's what I really think, that is credible. It's amazing.
Right.
That's an amazing
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, it does have to be hard. I mean, I can't imagine. I'm thankful that my parents don't really get what I do. Like, no matter what I accomplish, they don't really give a shit. Like,
I think
it's not
that's amazing. It's like Phil's parents.
Care.
They're like, what? You did what?
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. Oh, no, I don't get that. I just get like, what? Like, when I became a writer on Chelsea Lately, that was probably one of my big show business
yeah,
first jobs.
Yeah, it's huge.
And they're like, what is Chelsea Lately? I go, it's a fucking show on, it's a late night. It's a kind of a bit, is this cable? Like, it didn't make sense that it never registers no matter what I do. So
right.
I'm kind of giving up on their approval.
Do you
but
think
that's
because
be
of
hard.
That, though, on some level, you have to become more self-sufficient?
Yeah. Oh, from day one. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But at the same time, I would love their approval. And
of
I just,
course.
It's never going to fucking happen. But anyway, to live in that shadow is tough. Now, what do you think of, because I'll be honest with fucking Will Smith, you might be friends with that family. I know they live in the Valley. Did you grow up in the Valley? No.
No.
Okay. He's pushing, it looks like.
Yes.
He's pimping these kids out pretty fucking
it's
hard.
It's the weirdest thing, you guys.
Right. So now, you guys kind of got into show business voluntarily, I think at an age when you kind of could figure out what's what. What do you think of that?
I think it's too much, man. I mean, I'm doing the show for VH1 called Miss You Much. Sorry, I'm like dropping it.
No, please.
No, what are you talking about? That's the point.
It starts airing July 19th.
Okay.
But it's kid stars, basically. It's kids we grew up watching.
No. Okay.
It's the cast of Saved by the Bell. Mm. It's, you know, it's all these people that we grew up watching, and now they're, you know, not stars anymore. And all of them have one thing in common. They were famous when they weren't ready to be famous.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible.
And I will credit my parents in that I was definitely 6 years old on set watching famous people being like, I definitely want to do this.
Yeah.
And my parents were like, fuck no, you're not doing this. You're getting a college degree. Then you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was, I was not allowed to do anything. I mean, I got little like stupid bit parts because I was on set for 3 months, but I had to get a college degree. And I'm so grateful because now after interviewing all these famous kid stars.
Right.
And they're all missing a little something.
Dude, you can tell that Will's kid.
You're gonna have Will Smith's kid on your show.
You can tell that he's like,
we're really pushing.
There's
a disconnect that happened.
Yeah.
Totally.
And they never, like, I was an incredibly awkward, ugly kid with like more teeth than mouth, and you kind of need to go through that phase,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. You can't be awesome your whole life.
No, have to fucking learn how to get a character.
Jaden Smith confessed that not too long ago he had such a problem that he was going to Cartier every weekend.
Yes, I read the same interview. It is so crazy. That interview was so crazy.
It's so
what
insane.
Do you mean? He had to drown his sorrows in shopping at Cartier?
I was in Cartier.
I was out of control.
I was out of control. I was at Cartier every week.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah.
It was this interview that he and his father did together after the movie After Earth came out.
Yes.
And they start talking about how life is full of rhythms.
We read this interview.
Oh, yeah,
on the
this
show.
Is the best one.
And there's
the
formulas.
Yeah, the physics.
Oh, my
and
God.
Stuff.
And you all of a sudden realize like that when you go into that house, it's just like going into like a drug den. Like everyone's out of their fucking mind.
They're in the Kool-Aid.
It's been crazy. Now,
that's Hollywood bullshit, too.
You're
around people who fucking believe their own bullshit.
Right.
To your credit, you've booked so much shit. Since I saw you start as a little miniature actress at 21, and you've done so much stuff.
I don't know about that.
You have. You're and then a lot of people know you from Sunny, as Maureen Ponderosa.
Because
you've done Deadtooth. Cool. You've done a number of episodes, but I think what you're most known for is that episode of Frank Advice that you did.
Good ones.
You mean the peak of my career?
The Oscar moment of your career, if you will.
Do you know that's one of the favorite things that Philip has ever seen me do, though?
Really?
He always says, he's like, there's something about it. He's like, I just love, he's like, I love you in it. He's like, I feel like Tom showcased you well.
Yeah, you were great. So to the people who don't know, if you go to my YouTube page,
it's just the funniest show, you guys.
Tom Segura, you can see Frank Advice. And the whole idea was I wrote like 10 of these, and that was like just one of the episodes. But I was like, if I can only shoot one, which I at the time I could only shoot one, I picked that one, and I asked you to do it, and you said yes, and you were fantastic in it.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
Now I have a company that said they want to shoot a whole series.
That's right.
But they don't want me to play that. They're like, we just want you to be yourself. Stop being this
Which
character.
I think is a really good call.
Yeah, that'd be fun. So that'll be good.
The character-y stuff people don't seem to respond to. It's it's like people are too smart. And they want an authentic person. They're like, that's not real. I want to see who he really is.
Who he really is. Mm-hmm. The guy actually told me in the first meeting, I don't know if I ever told you this, he goes, I really like this thing. You know, we don't want to do it like this. We want to make it more grounded, more real, like not have it be where each episode is just a setup to you going on one of these rants, just have it be more of a real story. I was like, that's cool. And he goes, and you know, I mean, I don't know, maybe you've become a better actor since you shot this, so you have better chops.
Oh,
I was like,
shit.
I was like, Jesus, man.
I thought you were actually very natural in it. You weren't being crazy.
I was like, is this your way of courting me by saying this? Like,
oh my God.
You're telling me, like, I want to do this with you. Maybe you've become better.
God.
You know what I mean? It's a weird thing to say. Like, I really like you to be in this. And, you know, maybe you're better since when you did this. Hopefully.
Hopefully
you're better than when you made
Toss
this.
A coin.
See, acting's even tougher, I think, because I, at least in the few things, like I just did some pilot with Lifetime and we did sketches, and I'm not really a sketch person. Like I'm a comic, I'm a host, I like hosting, but I remember you act and you don't know how you're doing, really.
No, never.
Yeah, and you're like, was that,
especially when you go on a show that already exists.
Oh, I haven't done that one. Well, yeah, but not as a character, only as like myself.
Yeah, is that pressure, right?
That's gotta be
crazy.
Yes,
like I'd never seen It's Always Sunny.
Yeah.
And I mean, now I'm a huge fan, but like I got on it and I remember even in the auditioning waiting room, which I know you both can attest to is the weirdest environment on the planet.
Awful.
And there were all these girls that were, I'm so sorry, you guys.
No, please.
It was, I'm so pregnant.
God.
There was like all these girls that were hardcore fans of It's Always Sunny and like, oh, well, if you're marrying Dennis, because my character marries Dennis, they had like all these theories on it. And I'm like, oh, fuck me. I'm just going to go in and get out of here.
Yeah.
And I remember getting to set, though, when I got it, and I didn't realize what a big deal it was. You want to fit into them. You just want to like not be like, I never sit with them at lunch. I always try to like be very respectful.
Sure.
And not be like too like entitled about the whole situation.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember leaving it and being like, those were the coolest guys ever.
Aww.
They were just like the most easy, welcoming.
Yeah. And well, they had that machine going by then too, right? It's like, this is how the show works.
Right.
Like everybody, that's the thing about a show that already has its legs. Like,
and you don't know if you're being too big, which I think is why we brought it up.
My problem. Because I'm used to performing as you are, like to a live audience. That's always been my struggle, is to like pull it back.
Right.
I always want to be like, ah!
Right.
I can't, yeah.
When you want, it's also, if you haven't done a ton of work, which I haven't, when you do have a moment to perform, you really want to kill that moment.
Right.
And so you bring so much energy and so much character into it, and they're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Pull the ropes
down
a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be a real person, please.
I get the opposite for everything. They're like, a little more energy, please.
Well, because you're like comatose.
I know.
I know.
Like, could you?
Is there a heart beating behind that chest?
Do you want to be in this? I'm like, yeah.
Do you want to be? Yeah. Do you want to wake up tonight?
Yeah. I want to be in this. A little more.
Oh, always with you.
Volume up.
Yeah. And then now even in clubs, it's even in stand up where I go in and they're like, we can't really hear you. I'm like, turn the mics up.
I love that.
Turn the mics up, man.
That's what I tell them. I'm not screaming.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk louder for you.
Hey,
microphones.
She needs to go.
She told me she has. We could do a few more minutes.
You do? Okay. Yeah. Just making sure I'm looking out.
By the way, I think it's so cool that you guys tour separately and together doing stand up. It must be, because it's got to keep the romance alive. I was talking to Tom when we had lunch. I was like, I think it's so cool that you guys get to go and do your own thing.
Yeah.
And you come back to it together and you're like, how'd it go? I don't know how to go. I've got my own career going on.
Yeah.
It's very sexy.
It is. Nice. And you know what's even sexier? Last night, Tom and I, don't want to brag, made love.
Good.
And afterwards.
Must be easy when you don't have a fucking 8-month baby in your belly. Tell me about that.
When has it stopped? Can you keep going through the 8 months doing it?
You can. I want to hear about your night of love.
So we finish. Candles are lit.
Beautiful.
He rips
a
fart.
Do you like candles?
Oh, yeah. Well, because he farts the whole time.
No, I do
he
not.
He ripped a fart.
No, he did the
leg work. Like, he likes to do dramatics.
She thinks that I farted when we were making love.
While you were banging?
After.
No.
Post.
Yeah.
But you know what's really nice?
You were nice to keep it in the whole
time. Yeah.
And that's what he said to me. He goes, well, honestly, when we came in, I had to fart, but then I held it in this whole time. I go, wow, what a dream this is. What a sexy dream.
You lucky girl. If you could tell your nush mama.
Not even again.
That this was going to happen one day.
Who knew?
Such a dreamboat.
Anyway, so can you bang it 8 months? My husband's dying now.
Yeah, it's complicated. It's very complicated.
It is.
You've seen the porno.
It does. It gets. I know. I haven't seen the porn yet.
Didn't I tell you? We were talking about this, right? That there's pregnant porn?
There's time
you
for
told
you.
Me about yeah. it, and I have got to go catch it because most porn makes me crazy. And
well, what part? The part that it doesn't look pleasurable for women.
That the
ever?
Women are always so dry.
Pain. Oh, I know that's my problem.
It makes me crazy, Christine. Like
dry.
It
yes.
just looks like, and their faces are like, stop faking it. Like I need to know yeah. that you're really into it.
I agree. Why can't you just, if you're gonna do it, just enjoy it?
That's
and,
it.
Or use lubricant. Is it so much to buy?
I don't see what the problem was with buying. Why can't they just use lube? Supposedly,
that's what I just said.
That, I know. I'm saying, but
you guys should learn how to listen to each other.
That lube is. Like on every set, so
yeah,
like,
buy it.
Why? No, they have it. They
why
have it.
Or go down on her for a second,
dick.
And don't fake go down on her. Where they're, right. they're like, where they're like, ugh. Yeah, exactly, yeah. fingering her with their like jagged nails. It's like, stop it. Well, that's
the
why
worst.
Like lesbian porn is actually more interesting because I'm like, I think she might be doing a very good job.
Right.
I think she's actually up to the skill.
Actually, gives a shit. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But pregnancy, not porn, but pregnancy sex, to answer your question, is complicated. Mm. I mean, it depends on how big you are.
So it's a pretty normal, I'm assuming, for the first few months, right? It's when
yeah,
you
you're kind of good to go. I was until the last trimester, and then he can't be on top anymore.
Right.
Because he will literally crush him.
Yeah.
Oh.
And you can't be on your back anymore, really.
Yeah.
You have to be on top. And then it's about like, for me, it's like the lights have got to be off because
of course.
You're very conscious of, self-conscious of this baby.
Of course. Yeah.
And I don't give a shit about, like, there's all these ladies who are like, oh, but the baby can see the penis and it's weird. Like, I don't give a shit about that. I am shallow and I give a shit about my husband looking at me looking like a monster on top of him.
Aww.
So that's where it gets complicated. But he doesn't give a shit.
Of course not.
No?
No, he's so happy. He's happy that he's got a baby coming. He's happy that you're still having sex with him.
Well, and your and hormones just, are yeah. up, so you're feeling it.
Oh, so you want to.
You want it.
You want to bang.
Yeah.
Okay. Were you sick a lot in the beginning?
No, I got lucky. I don't even want to say that aloud because if there are other women out there who got sick, it's the worst I've heard. And
oh, my life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is this something you're thinking about,
dreadful.
Soon?
Well, yeah, I'm pushing 40. I mean, it might be time to start thinking.
You look
thinking.
Like you're 25 years old. For
yeah.
Her little baby face.
I don't know. I mean, that
you're
part terrifies
it,
me. Well, yeah, I mean, I think so. But it's scary, like, to think about being sick and stuff all the time.
The sick part, I mean, that definitely would suck if I had it. It's
yeah.
It's more of like you start realizing when you're coming to the end and you see the light at the end of the tunnel at the end of the 9 months. You're like, oh, wait. This wasn't about being pregnant. This is about having a kid and never being alone with my man again.
Right. Now you're going to embark on
roommate.
This whole thing. And so do you have like a birth plan? Is this too specific to ask about?
No, not
podcast,
at all. We're, I've been saying his name is going to be Jackson. I don't follow any of the rules.
Name.
He the birth plan is to survive it.
Yeah. Where are you doing? Are you going like a hospital or are you
going
to do some
Cedars.
Hollywood? Okay, good. Thank you. Yeah, that's where my gynae is. I would do the same.
Best. Who's your gynae?
Dr. Christine Collins.
Oh, cool. I don't know her. I have Dr. Raven.
Okay.
And my goal is to push him out with drugs in me.
Yeah, okay. That's good. I just didn't know if you're going to do some newfangled Hollywood thing.
No,
like
I'm not
going to
be in the bathtub.
The bathtub, yeah.
No, everyone's pushing the doula on me, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's coming back in the retro stuff. Of,
yeah.
Like, just so natural. Just have her come to your house. And you're like, nah.
There's this crazy.
Oh, shit. Sorry. Oh.
Yeah. There's always a crazy Ricky Lake documentary called
I've
The Business.
I've seen it. Seen it.
Where she, like, dumps out a baby in afterbirth while standing, and you're like, fuck! No! Never mind. I don't want him anymore.
So it's really scary. It's
I
daunting.
Know.
Yeah.
Placenta.
Yeah.
Placenta.
So what overrides all the fear and the horror? Just like, oh, I'm going to have this happy baby, right? Like,
I was
is that
telling
what you
Tom,
think?
You actually start getting so physically uncomfortable that it overrides the fear and you go, fuck it, it's got to be better when he's out of me.
Gotcha.
I want to meet him. I need my life back. Gotcha. I need to be able to lay on my back. Like, you can't sleep anymore.
When does that start?
Do you remember?
About a month ago, like 7 months.
Do you remember Maria? Who's like, I want to fucking murder people.
She was so funny, yeah.
I want to fucking kill people.
She hated everybody.
Who's that?
Sister. My sister. This is
dirty and disgusting.
That's her.
She had rage.
This is her talking to her. This is her. Oh, wait. Oh, this is her talking about getting a latte.
I don't want that. I just want the topping part. Like, you put whipped cream on as a topper. If I ask for a lot more whipped cream, you're going to charge me for a fucking latte too?
Right.
Some more. You have to push the button for the whipped cream to come out. Now is that a latte? Because you had to push the fucking button that says steam milk, she decided, oh, it's a latte. And I know I don't work at Starbucks, but I think I frequent there enough to know.
You definitely frequent it enough to know.
I do.
My favorite part of this is Christina's reaction. Right. Right. You are a healthy woman.
Well,
you
know what that's from? Groundlings.
Groundlings, yes.
Yes, and the shit out of that.
With Maria, you always help it along.
Yes,
Maria, do you like working with Dominicans? You worked at a number of
places. A lot of places.
But the last place that I know in New York that you worked at.
Tavern on the Green.
When there's a lot of Dominicans and Puerto Ricans working under you at that one? Was that that
one? My God, no. Thankfully, no.
Thankfully, no.
Thankfully, no.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
We had her at Thanksgiving a few years ago.
How was that?
And she was preggers. And she was pregnant during that
She was, and she was just so in a rage.
And
her hormones
we had
were
other
just
friends over who didn't,
yeah.
And she was like just like this. And my friends deemed that hates giving. They were like, Jesus. Like, she was just slamming everybody.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Oh, God bless her. Every family needs one.
Yes.
Of course.
Oh, hell
she's
yes.
She's hysterical.
Of course.
All right. I want to wrap Kat so she can get out of here. You told me a year ago that nobody calls you Kat, right? Everybody calls you Catherine?
It's a blend. People who knew me like in my early 20s call me Kat a lot.
Okay. But you guys listening, you fucking call her Catherine.
That's right, damn it.
What is your Twitter? Can we give away your Twitter?
Yeah, of course. It's at Write Catu. Catu is my mom's French, and they don't have Kathy. They have Catu.
Oh, I love that.
It's very
fancy. It's at REITCATOU.
I'm so impressed with you right now.
Je ne parle pas français.
And watch her new show on VH1.
I miss you much.
Miss you much.
July 19th.
Okay. That's coming out. It's just
I know. About to start a very pregnant press tour with that bad boy.
Oh, no.
And,
very big.
Another season of Sunny got ordered or picked up, right? They're doing another, so maybe you'll be appearing.
Maybe.
Dead Tooth
Maureen
might come back.
Maureen Ponderosa, she has big fake tits now, though.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, who knows what will happen next.
That's exciting stuff.
That's very exciting stuff.
Very exciting. Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me, guys.
This was a lot of fun. Will you do it again? And you know, when Jackson has a nanny, just fucking drop him off.
I can't wait for that. I just can't wait to leave him somewhere with a... A Puerto Rican or a Dominican.
It's going to be hard to find an L.A. Puerto Rican
or a Dominican.
True.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Thank God. Thankfully, no. No. God bless her.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye, mommy.